Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here today?
Christopher Antista, host of The Laser Time Show.
And?
Henry Gilbert of Cape Crisis fame.
And I'm Dave Rudden, and I didn't like the Raven that much.
Oh, man.
God, you're an idiot.
Gotta get that out there immediately. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what people's issue is. I didn't like a classic poem.
We'll get to it.
Spoilers, this episode we're doing today, or this week, is Treehouse of Horror, which aired on October 25th, 1990, actually close to Halloween. Chris, what happened on this mystical day in history?
Oh, Bobby, this week in Simpsons news, the Cincinnati Reds and the Oakland Athletics battle it out in the World Series. Fantasia has been re-released for the ninth time against some stiff competition for Martin Scorsese's Goodfellas, and Angela Lansbury announces her intention to leave Murder, She Wrote. It would go on for another 6 years.
What the hell?
Without her? She just holding
up
money?
She just resigned.
No, she pulled out... Okay, again, we do this to emphasize how fucking old The Simpsons is. She had gotten tired of doing it and kind of pulled back and diminished her role. The show kept going. She eventually came back, was given more money, executive producer stuff. The show went a lot longer.
And we cover this on Talking Murder, She Wrote.
And I just want to plug my friend Carolyn. She came up with a great drinking game when watching Murder, She Wrote, which is on Netflix. Drink every time someone calls her lady. Listen, lady. Listen, lady.
That's the ultimate insult if you're an aging woman, I guess.
She's just investigating everything, and everybody's pissed at her all the time.
Well, I think much like Murder, She Wrote, they needed to warn people about the violence in The Simpsons, too.
That's great, because a little bit of behind the scenes, the way I watch these episodes, because I'm usually capturing sounds, Henry did today, I downloaded a torrent file just because it's easier for me to deal with. I own these, trust me. I not only own them on disk, I own the Amazon versions, but no buffering, no disk spinning, just to rewind them back. So, like, my whole file is just the first frame of The Simpsons. Clouds, 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 clouds. In the middle, Marge in front of a curtain. You get the Halloween, the thumbnail of the Halloween episode, and that's probably how most of you are watching these right now. Thumbnail for Marge sticks out like a sore thumb.
It does.
Well, and yeah, you guys want to hear the Marge intro?
I do,
yes.
Everyone, you know, Halloween is a very strange holiday. Personally, I don't understand it. Kids worshiping ghosts, pretending to be devils. Things on TV that are completely inappropriate for younger viewers. Things like the following half hour. Nothing seems to bother my kids, but tonight's show, which I totally wash my hands of, is really scary. So if you have sensitive children, maybe you should tuck them into bed early tonight instead of writing us angry letters tomorrow. Thanks for your attention.
A lesson Marge would not follow herself.
Yeah.
I do love... I didn't realize as a kid, because I have this episode memorized. I love this episode. This is the episode... The next episode is the first one I ever recorded because I was like, I need these in my life and I want to watch them once a day.
You love Treehouse of Horror so much.
I did. So I said, but like, I didn't realize that is an earnest warning to the viewer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this, there was still controversy about The Simpsons and mm-hmm. its effect on families. And mm-hmm. this is actually a parody of the opening of Frankenstein, I believe, the original yes. Frankenstein movie. Mm-hmm. So
that's
yeah,
right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
But that as a warning or something? Or?
Yeah, a guy comes out and says, hey, this is really scary. It's Frankenstein.
Dude, it was
yeah.
a complete gimmick, a bunch of horror movies. It, oh, yeah. It's awesome going look at the promotional arts. If you're Mystery Science fans, the Screaming Skull,
that's
like,
right.
it opens with, like, we promise to give you a coffin if you die of fright during the screening of this film. It's about a skull and a fountain.
A lot of William Castle, I believe, movies were about that gimmick. Like,
oh, Bill. Sorry, I didn't.
Good old Bill.
Well, so what is the plot of this one? Sorry.
Well, three plots.
Yeah, I mean,
I got in the way of Bob. But telling it's, us it's, the, it, the
it's
the plot.
It kicks off a tradition that's
held. That's right.
It is one of the only tradition The Simpsons has.
Yeah, and this is the only one I believe to take place in a treehouse.
Yes.
Keep in mind, I've missed like the last 10, but I'm pretty sure like the Treehouse of Horror motif was meant to just mm-hmm. explain like what's happening in this episode, where the framing devices Bart and Lisa mm-hmm. are telling each other stories in this treehouse. Mm-hmm. And this episode actually has a few firsts I want to get to. It's the first episode with music by Alf Clausen.
Wow.
So this is the first time The Simpsons music sounds right. In the next episode, it won't because it's the first one recorded uh-huh. for this season, but it has really good music, and I think that's because Alf Clausen is doing the music for this episode. Hmm. And the next tradition we have is the tombstones, the humorous
yes.
tombstones,
yeah.
which will go away in like season 5 or 6, I believe.
I have them all.
Ooh, okay.
Ezekiel Simpson, Ishmael Simpson, Cornelius versus Simpson, Garfield, The Grateful Dead, Casper, The Friendly Boy, Elvis... Your Name Here, Paul McCartney, Disco, and Violence on TV are the names in the headstones.
Isn't that the one that bleeds? Or the? No, that's a later. It's hard for me to... I have so many of those ones mixed up in my head. Like, next year, Marge's warning to everybody is such a callback to this one, where she says, hey, you didn't
Nobody listen
listened
to
me
last
year.
Yeah.
You're not going to listen to me now.
I just watched that, and they use the same animation. They just, like, recycle yeah. it, like, wow. through video effects.
My favorite one is the stupid TVMA stuff, like, stabbing the censor to
oh,
death.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I didn't realize that this... It was pretty bold and kind of controversial that the writers... Mm-hmm. One of the... Like, I don't know where Sam Simon is credited as a writer. Other than here, he is credited as a writer in this episode.
He's also in the next episode.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's co-credited with Schwartzwelder. But this one is also a weird production one because it had three... It was basically them making three mini-episodes together because it's three different directors.
That's right,
on
yeah.
each one, and each one was written by a different person, too. Mm-hmm. I think they've said on the commentaries that soon they learn... After a few years, like... No, we're not going to do that. We're not. It's one director for an episode, even the Halloween one, just to make it easier.
And now they usually do it at the end of a season instead of in the middle of the production run of the current mm-hmm. season. That way, it's like we have all this time to edit and think about it and write because it won't be like airing for like 7 months or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's no scary names on this one either.
No,
there weren't. That's right.
And I got to get this plug out. I know we want to poo-poo Modern Simpsons. Mm-hmm. The last episode of The Simpsons, we're recording this in a timely manner for once. The one that predates the new Treehouse of Horror is an excellent Halloween yeah. episode.
It really is.
I think I need to watch it.
Though. It's a great Lisa episode. It's not a Treehouse. Yeah. They make reference to it. Like, what are you going to do this week, Halloween? Homer? I don't know. We're
going
to be
Skinner's
mom.
We're going to the Treehouse.
Skinner's
next
mom
week.
Is in Psycho, and mm-hmm. I think we're doing Muppet of Wizard of Oz. I'll be Fozzie. People love it.
Is this called is this called Halloween of Horror?
Yes, it's called Halloween of Horror, and it's like it has the first. I don't think The Simpsons haven't done a lot of sincere stuff since the early seasons, but this is like a genuine scenario of terror.
Okay, cool.
Like a real good Halloween episode. And it's a full-length episode. It's got... Makes really funny observations. I have not seen an episode made in the last 10 years I would call classic, but I've watched this one twice. I really like it.
But yeah, I mean, that episode is notable in that it's the first episode to really cover Halloween. Mm-hmm. Like, we had... For a couple years on the Treehouse of Horror episodes, they would celebrate Halloween like before they told the next story. But it was
you're right.
Very
they, we've never had the opportunity to see like the Halloween festivities of Springfield for a full episode. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it. Can't recommend it enough, especially to you, baby.
I will watch it, and I will just spit my drink out.
And Nick Kroll is a guest on, and he's a great.
Yeah,
guest.
And like, cool. The guest stars are great. They play. Somewhat terrifying characters with a little bit of humor, obviously.
So, what's interesting for me rewatching this one was that I forgot how, like, I don't want to say unexpected, but like disruptive almost this was. Like, TV shows didn't do this, you know? It was out there for them to have these episodes that it feels so normal now, but this was an episode where this is like they're into their second unexpected season. Like, let's just do the weirdest crap we could do. Let's draw a giant alien. Let's have magic happen. And let's do a tour de force version of Edgar Allan Poe that is, like, an animator's delight.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I think it's a really wonderful feat of television animation, to be completely honest.
I think there's a bit of a caveat with these episodes that wouldn't happen with later episodes, where the families return to the status quo at the end of both segments.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. They return to their normal state. But in the end of other Halloween episodes, like a character could die, or the end could be like tragic or humorously dark.
Get trapped in reality.
Yeah.
And as far as I read, that was intentional on the writers. They wanted to create a space for Halloween where continuity didn't matter and characters, they could just kill characters.
Yeah.
So fucking
and we should mention, these are really just super inspired by EC Comics and old horror comics, things like that. Yeah. And also, this episode specifically, Twilight Zone, Amityville Horror, Poltergeist. Mm-hmm. So this is where The Simpsons are at their most referential. Like, I think this is where the heavy references started.
Yeah, yeah, the on-the-nose references.
Yeah.
So I guess let's start with the first one, Bad Dream House.
Which I love.
I really liked it, but it can't pick its own thing. Like, it's like, now it's Poltergeist, now it's Amityville Horror, and then it just kind of bounces back and forth.
I do think they have less time to work with because they need that entire setup, which is longer than the other setups for the other stories.
No, commercial breaks were shorter back then.
That is true.
But, here was one of my favorite jokes from the Bad Dream House. So I had never seen Amityville Horror or Poltergeist before this, and so once I saw Poltergeist, I just wanted to see it just for the vortex scene, to have it match up with the vortex in this.
Ooh,
I just love it.
A vortex catch.
It looks like a vortex, way into another dimension.
Ooh, a vortex.
Hey, did it.
Catch.
Love that sound.
Hey, pretty slick.
So, I don't know. I love that scene, just a little boop sound it made.
I think this is, as a little kid, that might have been the first time I heard the word vortex, and I used to keep a dictionary next to the television, and I go look stuff up, and I love this episode so much. I know every line of it verbatim.
It was so violent, too, like all the blood dripping off the walls.
Yeah, I remember it being like, I don't know if I was ready for it. I didn't like run out of the room, but when the Simpsons start grabbing all the knives and about to murder each other, that was like a legitimately like, they're going this far kind of moment when I was a kid. Yeah, I was just like, wow.
And I think I would use that phrase when like I was pretending to be angry. Die, die, everybody die.
Even Maggie gets a knife.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I know. It's
not the last time.
No, I really liked, too, the bit where Bart thought... That's, I think, one of my favorite jokes of the episode was Bart thinking that it was his conscience.
But. Yeah.
All against you, Bart. You must kill them all. They all must die.
Are you my conscience?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, just the... I like that the Ghost House can roll with it, and they slowly build up his humor in there, but
it's kind of funny. They have James Earl Jones playing multiple roles in this episode, but he plays just
the
mover.
Man.
Yeah, with two lines, but he doesn't play the house, which I think would be much more appropriate.
Yeah.
I love Harry Shearer's delivery in this, especially when he's talking about the things he's going to do to them, something really
like
gross.
Yeah, sorry. With blood.
You will die. You will die slowly. Your stomach will swell, your intestines will writhe and boil, your eyes will burst, and some horrible stuff, possibly your brain, will start coming out through your nose.
Shut up! Quit trying to push us around! Stop saying those horrible things and show some manners!
I thought that was a big moment, too, because Marge had never shown that much fire on the show to that point.
Yeah,
either.
And she's like, I can't believe I'm shaking. I've never been this mad in my life. There's a joke in this that I believe was cut out for syndication, because it's like it feels like the first time I've seen this. It's they find out the house is set on an ancient near burial ground, and he was like, Homer's like, they never told me this. And then he calls the guy, and it turns out...
Oh, like this?
Yeah, oh, got it.
Mr. Plote, Homer Simpson here. When you sold me this house, you forgot to mention one little thing. You didn't tell me it was built on an Indian burial ground! No, you didn't! Well, that's not my recollection. Yeah, well, all right, goodbye. He says he mentioned it 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
That is like a Homer joke you could have in like season 6 or 7.
Yeah,
like it's
I remember
stupid.
That my dad lost his shit.
that's like a Bob Newhart joke too. Just the idea of one side of a telephone conversation.
Oh, it's so good.
And this overall, this
Mr. Plute.
Mr. Plute's a great name too. But overall, this episode is just such a great like tour de force for Dan Castellaneta.
Oh, for real. Sure. Yeah, yeah. He gets to freak out.
Wonderful, wonderful range in that dude.
Yeah, this, yeah. I miss this Homer. Like, this Homer is one of the best they had in this one.
And the resolution for this is kind of weird, where it's like the house decides it would rather not live with the Simpsons than, you know, exist at all, you know?
That just felt like an ending that they just kind of shrugged their shoulders, like, we gotta stop. And all right, he kills himself when they decide to stay.
I don't think the Simpsons did anything particularly bad or anything, or like showed any kind of like dysfunction. I just, I guess the house could see things coming. And it was kind of commentary like, they're the worst family.
Yeah. They're the worst family, but then like he clearly said every scary thing you could possibly do to him, and Marge is shaking from anger.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, maybe I can't push this family around.
That's true, yeah.
Oh, that visual joke, too, I love when Marge says, like, yeah, we're getting out of here, and then their jackets are just, like, zipped to magically. Like, whoop, and then Homer's like, no, come on, let's just sleep on it.
Because I think a more modern Simpsons joke would be, like, flash forward to years later in the house living together.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah.
I taped Dynasty for you.
Or it just would have killed them all. Like, it would just end with all their deaths. Like, that's the thing, too. None of them get to die. There's not much grievous harm actually happens to the Simpsons in this one.
There will be a lot more deaths in future years.
No, Maggie walking around with a knife still feels like something like iffy back then. Like,
I can't fully verbalize it, but as a 9-year-old kid, this was captivating.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no show had ever done anything like this before. I still am astonished what the Simpsons get away with on regular television for their Halloween episodes. Like, it just doesn't matter to disembowel somebody on camera.
Oh, one more bad Dreamhouse sound effect I wanted to burn off is this one.
Okay, boy. Let's see you talk yourself out of this one.
Just so, like, Homer thinks that Homer seems to think that Bart was doing that somehow. The one thing Bart couldn't have done himself.
And he was floating and being strangled by a lamp? Is that what was happening?
And
then,
and then Homer's just like, explain your way out of this one, boy. I finally got you.
Let's move on to the other one. I love this one.
Yeah, this one is called... Hungry or the Damned. Sorry, I was reading the original Twilight Zone episode.
Which I watched recently.
I did too for the first time.
To Serve Man is the name
of
the
episode. Isn't it awesome that in the Twilight Zone episode, the aliens speak telepathically and have enlarged foreheads like Itchy in a much later episode.
Oh, yeah.
They mentally communicate and tear them apart with their minds. Like, that is exactly the Twilight Zone character from To Serve Man.
And he's also played by Iga, Richard Kiel.
Oh my god, I forgot that.
But to explain things really quick, in the Twilight Zone episode, these aliens land and they're like, we can bring you all this great stuff and we have all these cures, we've solved hunger, we've solved war, just come with us on our ship. And in the end it turns out they're going to eat the humans. All the humans that go aboard the ship.
It is, in retrospect, very stupid.
It is, really.
Because they hand them a manual, and it's like, well, once you figure out this manual, like, we'll put our best code breakers on it. And they have, we got the title. It's called To Serve Man. And then later in the episode, it's a cookbook! It's a cookbook! Like, why would the aliens hand you their plan and how to cook you?
I guess it's like, well, you're too stupid to figure this out, so we're just going to rub it in.
I guess.
No,
at the end, they do just look like big bullies, because he just slams the door.
Yeah, it's like, you're going on this road trip whether you like it or not.
This was my favorite of the three, because it's so... It's a specific takedown of a terrible... of a twist type... writing.
That's like, right.
It's a very writerly sketch of just an overly nerdy writer saying this twist is stupid or and so they instead so overly telegraph.
They lay it on so thick. And one thing I totally forgot is the reason why the space aliens are always drooling is because it's implied they want to eat the Simpsons. Yes. So they never stop drooling. And in this episode, they even like add sound effects to the drool. You don't hear those again in the future.
Yeah, the drool grossed me out so much as a kid. I was like, ugh, it's disgusting.
And they drool a lot
more.
You
can even hear it on James Earl Jones. Like, he's like, his mouth is stupidly frothy.
You mean James Earl Jones as Sarek the Preparer?
Ifflings, take all you want, but eat all you take.
Well, thank you very much, mister.
To pronounce it correctly, I would have to pull out your tongue.
So will he come back the next year?
So his only appearance,
he was, he was back in the Shinning one, the one with the Shinning.
Yeah,
this
shows
is indeed
up one more
a disturbing
time.
Universe.
As Maggie, he's one of the, him and Liz Taylor got to
voice
Maggie.
This is the only appearance of Sarek the Preparer.
It was always Kang and Kodos.
He should have been the independent vote in that presidential episode.
Which, by the way, nerd voice, but he says you'd have to tear out your tongue to prepare it, and then later they say, to say his name. And they just say, it's Sarek.
Sarek slaved all day for you. My big nerdy gripe Look, I don't mind that Lisa doesn't eat vegetarian. That has not been established yet.
She's not a vegetarian.
I refuse to believe a young kid's favorite food is fried shrimp. That is absolutely impossible.
Lisa's kind of sophisticated, though. You know, I think she might... Yeah.
Fried... It's so good. Just thinking about it makes me want to fucking vomit.
I didn't get a clip of that, but I loved Marge's reaction to, like, radish rosettes. Those are hard to make.
She's impressed by the craftsmanship. So, just like in the Twilight Zone episodes, they show the Simpsons, like, all of the advanced technology, but then they get to the one piece of thing that is not advanced. Do you have that clip, Henry?
And over here is our crowning achievement of technology, an electronic version of what you call table tennis. Your primitive paddles have been replaced by an electronic...
Hey, that's just Pong. Get with the times, man.
Marge and I played that old game before we were married.
Well, we did build this spaceship, you know.
Anyone from a species that has mastered intergalactic travel, raise your hand.
And then Bart raises his hand, right?
Yeah.
Sideshow Mel is an alien or something.
Yeah.
God. And also, Maggie's sucking is so loud in every scene in this. But
I want to go back to the beginning just because I have, as an observation, is this kind of the first Homer is fat joke when he's being levitated?
Yeah.
But not just fat, but like the fattest person in Springfield.
Yeah, I mean they made fat jokes plenty of times, but it's like this is like absurdly fat,
joke.
Yeah, like a UFO cannot lift him.
And I could not read what the fuck was on, because another one of my dad and I's favorite gags was the barbecue grill. They eventually revisited that. Yeah, and then also this is the first time I ever heard anybody say the word bitchin' on television.
Mm. Oh right,
But also, could you read what's on Homer's apron?
A mafia staff apron.
Oh, see, I
didn't get
I
that joke.
Yet. I didn't either.
There was a lot of because there were a lot of like high profile mafia trials at the time. Like it was a joke. Okay. Like your bumper sticker would say "mafia staff car" and your t-shirt would be like "mafia bodyguard" or like you know like
all about
yeah.
That.
So dumb.
It is really dumb. Yeah.
As a kid, I also remember as a kid thinking like that. Yeah, Pong is so old, and now even thinking that like in 1992, they're like, "Oh, Pong is so." Old in 1992. We're talking about Super Mario World, man. Sonic 2.
I think they'd be showing Bart the Simpsons like a Dreamcast game or something.
Yeah.
Called Sonic Adventure.
We present to you Halo 3. Yeah.
Here's how much of a bad kid Bart is that he'll lie just to, like, who's invented space travel?
Yeah, I love it.
So this is one that
the HBO line, by the way, also, like, we get channels from all over the world. Do you get HBO? Of course not. That would cost extra.
I love, too, the joke... I knew this from the commentaries, other commentaries, not this one. Mm. That was something that George Meyer would do in the meeting room, at the table reads. Somebody would say, this new album by this person sucks. Mm-hmm. He'd say, like, oh, this new album by Madonna sucks. She's terrible. And they'd say, anyone who's sold multiple platinum records, raise your hand. I thought so.
This is invoking Worthington's Law.
It does sound like an obnoxious thing to constantly do. I might steal it.
To kill any conversation.
Yes.
So how is this episode wrapped up? Lisa,
beautiful.
Oh,
we have the whole book thing. Do you have a clip for that, Henry?
So she discovers the book and she presents it. So she doesn't say that it says to serve humans.
Wait a minute. Aha!
Wait, there's still more space dust on here.
There's still more space dust on here.
Yeah, that's one of those things I never noticed.
That is like the first taste of really modern, hyper-advanced Simpsons writing, where it's like they're going to hang a lantern on what they've been doing the entire time, and it's great.
I know, that's such an advanced joke that for them to do, of just like, there's still more, we're still going to keep blowing on this thing, like for how to cook humans, how to cook 40 humans, how to cook 440 humans.
Yeah. And I believe there was going to be a joke at the end before the episode changed. It was going to be called How to Cook for 40 Humans and Then Eat Them. But I guess they went with the original non-twist ending.
That would kill the end. Yeah, it's such a great undercutting of the whole thing. And they also bring up, I think on the commentary, they say, the way they act the entire time before this reveal, if they're not going to eat them, doesn't make a single bit of sense.
Because they are weighing them like in the Twilight Zone episode, and they're super impressed by how much weight Homer's gaining. And like, it's like, your wife is quite a dish.
But then their reaction is so great, too. I love it.
They thought we were going to eat them. Good God. Is this some kind of joke?
No. They're serious.
No.
I love how hurt
they are. They're serious.
And so they make Sarek the Preparer cry.
Yes.
And
slaved all day for you.
I slaved each for days for you people, and...
Well, if you wanted to make Sarah Preparer cry, mission accomplished.
You aren't the only beings who have emotions, you know.
Evil Jones really tries
that's
hard
Darth
on that
That's Darth fucking
one.
Vader.
Yeah, yeah, it feels like he gargled raw eggs or something.
It's like,
but really makes it go
of in that voice.
So viscous.
Yeah, it's just, or that he has like Marlon Brando style tissue in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he's saying like, for days.
So it's basically Lisa's fault that they are just brought back to Earth and they don't get to experience the amazing planet where they'll experience so many greater emotions and feelings than they ever will on Earth.
We offered you paradise. You would have experienced emotions 100 times greater than what you call love, and 1,000 times greater than what you call fun. You would have been treated like gods, and lived forever in beauty. But now, because of your distrustful nature, that can never be.
For a superior race, they really rub it in.
I like that Marge got that joke line, too.
Yeah.
She was the one who got to say it, and that is also just a commentary on weird science and all those types of things that would end with a twist of like, well, I guess you don't get to have everything. We would have done it all, but you showed your distrust. And then just having the human finally say like, yeah, right, we get it. Jesus. Yeah.
It's like, I get the moral, thank you.
Yeah, please.
And I did also get hold my fist in the air and damn Koreans, because Marge's pearls are white and that's for no reason.
They couldn't recolor it. It was too late. Well, there's also, speaking of bad animation, when the aliens show up, that zoom in on Lisa reacting, like it's Lisa's
weird.
Slack shot. Yeah, it's like blue screen or something. It's just
it's supposed to be a rack shot. Yeah.
I think it's like a video effect mesh of the animation.
Work.
Yeah,
it's,
they do that like early on sometimes.
Yeah.
You can see like Brad Bird was the executive consultant, so I think he's the guy. He's the guy I always attribute like weird camera angle to and like visual references to other films.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to blame Brad Bird for that.
And the next segment has tons of weird camera angles.
It's only animation.
And special guest writer Edgar Allan Poe, and that is the Raven. And here. Okay, let me establish something.
It is the entirety of the Raven.
Exactly. I think it's like The Simpsons is in this space where it's like we need to give a disclaimer because we're this edgy show that people think is trash. But here is something we're going to do to redeem ourselves.
Yeah.
We're going to be literary. We're still going to play and have fun with this idea of you know, reciting this poem. But we're going to do something artsy, like something artsy and interesting with animation and not be lowbrow, you know.
In which I think they do on occasion in ways that don't really get appreciated. I love the couch gag stuff. That is kind of The Simpsons celebrating the art of animation in a way the show doesn't do very often.
Well, not anymore. But, but...
And this is a David Silverman one, right? Mm-hmm.
That's right, yeah.
He's going crazy in this one.
And it is beautiful, especially considering the limitations he was working under and just how early it was in The Simpsons, timeline, you know?
Yeah.
The camera spins around. There's so many, like, different angles visual jokes.
I wish I had technical terms to teach animation to convey it to animation fans how hard that was. You can't really zoom in on a cell very well without losing a lot of quality, and just today you have artifacting, but you just, why is Lisa's line like 8 inches thick?
Yeah,
around, so they can't do that. So when the camera pans around a room, that means someone just drew this giant picture of
like
a room,
a super long, it's like when you have an iPhone or you're taking a landscape photo when you're like moving it all the way, that long image is like
it's
basically
so cool.
What the background is.
I'll always argue the reason why Simpsons looks weird today is because they don't do any of that anymore. It's like two people walking into frame, three quarters front. Very stagey.
It is very like Family Guy-ish.
It is.
Proscenium staging.
It is.
Like
and
that.
I think that was the hallmark of what Simpsons wasn't. If I have any complaint about modern Simpsons, go back to doing things like that.
Exactly.
Be honest. Is this the first time you've ever heard of Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven?
As a kid? This was the first time.
Because it was for me.
I'd never heard of Edgar Allan Poe to that point.
Because I was like Dave, and like, he's boring. And then I fucking studied literature and like had to read The Raven like 8 times. And then seeing, like, wow, why did they do that? That is such a cool thing to do, to celebrate this little odd poem on The Simpsons. That is so neat.
Yeah, it made it famous.
Make it famous. Was
it made it more famous. to a whole
I think it did
generation.
Make more kids aware of it, for sure. Yeah.
Well, so I both loved and hated the Raven section. And the thing that I hated about it was I wish they had just gone whole hog, but they kept inserting these lines from Bart and Lisa that just undercut the whole thing, just because I think they were worried children would be bored.
I think so, too.
It's 6 minutes. Yeah. Like, just
it's really short.
You don't need Bart and Lisa talking for six whole minutes.
And those jokes that they say aren't really worth saving or worth saying. Yeah.
And a lot of them just feel so inserted into it after the fact. So I have this clip I call Everything Good and Bad About the Raven.
Don't I crispy shorn and shaven, thou?
I said.
But sure, no craven.
Homer's so good in this.
Grim and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the nice Plutonian shore.
Quoth the raven.
Eat my shorts.
Bart, stop it. He says nevermore, and that's all he'll ever say.
Okay.
See, that's again, Lisa's mad at him for the reasons I'm mad.
Yeah, it's like
he's like, shut up,
he's
Bart.
Also interrupting. You're right.
As like, a kid, though, did you feel that way? Like, as a
kid, 9-year-old, yes, but you watched it as a 32-year-old adult, David. Come on,
man,
I'm still as
unimpressed. It's just like, I never really read the poem. It's just, it doesn't work for
me. Dan Castellaneta's performance in this is really good.
So good.
As evident maybe for the clip. But I feel like he's finding the current Homer voice by just like having to fluctuate so much through different emotions with this poem.
Homer feels, when I watched the episode that follows this one, I was like, it feels like Homer's taking a step back again. And now you mentioned earlier that it was a different recording order. But I put this as like, I think this might be some of my favorite acting by Homer.
It's some of the
ever.
Best acting from Dan Castellaneta of all time.
Don't be that word outside of parting, murder fiend!
I shrieked upstarting.
Get thee back into the tempest and the nice Plutonian shore! No, leave no black plume as a token of the lie thy soul has spoken! Leave my loneliness unbroken! Quit the bust above my door! Take thy beak from off my heart, and take thy form from off my door!
Quoth the raven.
Nevermore.
If you know anything about voice acting, it's extremely hard to stay in character while screaming and singing.
But also when he goes like, I didn't want to make that like even longer, that clip, but he goes like, quaff, a quaff, like just him saying quaff is...
And then, having read the Raven, this is not my reading of the character. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I also give Castellaneta more credit, because like this is... I feel like an original performance.
It is like a very sullen character who's like just drowning in his own sorrows, but it's Homer reacting to the same situation with the Homer attitude, which makes it, I think it makes it more fun.
If you want to find out more, look up The Raven, Christopher Walken on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
The best readings of it.
And that Silverman is really going, like, these are classic Homerisms by Silverman. Like, he's moving his fingers a lot. He's... He moves his arm so much in his gesticulation, especially that get thy house.
There are some
house.
Super David Silverman drawings in this episode.
And then
very briefly, I think to entertain kids again, they just turn it. It becomes a Looney Tunes. It becomes like a Tweety Bird cartoon for about 40 seconds.
Yeah, that's kind of the weakest part of this episode, but or this segment, I think. But
I think it was again. They were just worried about kids. They're like, we can't bore these.
Not about kids. I think it's about the average audience. Like they didn't want to
people like Dave.
Because my reading of the character is like a guy terrified with. Like a guy who's kind of trembling with terror when he's yelling at the raven when I read it, but not Castaneda's take, which is why I love it so much.
I did like the in-joke or the visual joke of like Forgotten Lore. There's a book just on his stomach says Forgotten Lore Volume 4.
Oh, right, yeah. There are a lot of visual jokes that play with the words of the poem.
I believe Lost the raven, Lenore, which is Marge and her hair's on what?
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I love it. That was my favorite part of it.
Like, the raven also attacks Homer with other poems by Edgar Allan Poe that now comprise entire heavy books.
must have been like large print.
So that kind of ends the episode. It ends on an understated line that I like. Bart says, that's not scary even for a poem. So, and this is what the one that ends up scaring Homer. Because Bart's like, that's not scary.
I was mad that Homer got, as a kid, I was like, those are scary. Homer should not be scared.
And it seemed like Homer was the only one in the family trick-or-treating, which is great because he's like a 38-year-old man.
I have to assume they trick-or-treated, Bart and Lisa trick-or-treated earlier, and this is just them hanging.
Having read a ton of horror literature from that era, it's not very scary, but seriously, someone being lost in the woods. That was a horror story in the 1800s.
That's how most people die, either that or tuberculosis.
But again, to people like Dave, imagine a bird who flies in your house and says one word when you're contemplating the death of your wife. It is very terrifying. It's a terrifying scenario, kind of undercut by a couple of Simpsons gags. So I love this. I love this, by the way. Not to plug anything, but yes, you can support us, lasertimepodcast.com. You can buy on Amazon. They don't have all Simpsons episodes streaming. In fact, pathetically few. But you can buy Treehouse of Horror packs.
Yeah,
and I disappear into them every. They're low priced given what they're giving you, and it's usually like 5 to 7 Treehouse of Horror episodes, and there's 3 volumes of it, mm-hmm. and you can just buy Treehouse of Horror episodes digitally.
What, do people have a favorite line?
I don't know. Do you?
That's the joke.
Definitely, I loved. I already played it, but him going like, "No, they're serious."
How hurt that fucking alien is. They built interstellar travel, but never imagined being offended by the emotional humans.
There was this inserted line that I was talking about how much I hate the Raven lines that Bart and Lisa say, but I do like this one.
Wait a minute. That's a book. Don't worry, Bart. You won't learn anything.
Yeah, just that. I like that book. You won't learn anything.
Mine was the line about the space dust. It's like, oh, there's more space
there's
dust.
There's still more space dust.
But again, that's one of the things, like, I do know this episode pretty verbatim. Like, I remember I was turning away and, like, I'm still reading it in my head. And space dust is one of those things, like, I just picked up.
Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah, I like the, I like later Halloween episodes more, just because they get bigger and bigger and more ambitious and bloodier too, and more specific in their parodies of just, no, this is just simply The Shining.
Right.
But there was something quaint about this one I loved, and also the To Serve Man one was just so funny, just such a great. I love old 50s horror comic stuff like that, and for them to just do such a great parody of how they do that.
I think they do that pretty well every year. Even if you think you don't like The Simpsons anymore, always check out the Treehouse. I'll say this. I think it's one of the crowning pieces of human culture. American cultural achievement is the Treehouse. I love them so much. I really do.
Like, I don't think we have any more other like televised Halloween traditions outside of like Charlie Brown, Pumpkin.
It's so fucking cool. And like their only job every year is to shock and scare you and maybe make you laugh a little bit. But like the laughter kind of takes aside... Like it, I don't know. It has to sit at the side for a second for ingenuity and weirdness. I love that about the Simpsons Halloween Treehouse of Horror episodes.
So yeah, that was the Treehouse of Horror. It was awesome, guys. Thanks for joining us. And as for me, I am Bob Servo on Twitter. Also, please listen to Retronauts, the Classic Gaming Podcast. All these guys have been on it, and you will like it too. Any other plugs for us?
Yeah, Laser Time, baby. I forget what's going up this week, but we've been doing a bunch of Halloween stuff all week. Halloween comfort food, classic horror theme song quizzes, and I forget the other one. What do we do? Evil Kids!
Evil Kids. Evil.
Yeah, lasertimepodcast.com. We don't have any other Simpsons features up this week, but I've been writing way too much about Aladdin.
Yeah, but again, if you like this and you haven't heard the first season, get on the Patreon. You can listen to the
Patreon.com/lasertime
for the first season.
The whole first season. 13 episodes await you for the low cost of $5.
And we write so many cool things on the site, and I wrote an article about why Spider-Man is the biggest Mets fan around.
I did not know that.
And Cheap Podcast. That podcast has old man stink.
That's it, everybody. We'll see you next week with a Mr. Burns episode. Later.